Bible study class this morning very well. God is bigger than anything. And it was a song that we introduced to the camp people this last summer, and we sang along the way. And I don't know along the way if any of our young people here were part of session four to have this song to be sung. And it's just a wonderful song for adults as well as young people. And so I wanted you to sing it with me this morning and hear the words to it. God is bigger than all my troubles, bigger than all my dreams. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hopes and bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Let's do it one more time just for the fact that we are cranky with it. God is bigger than all my troubles, bigger than all my dreams. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hopes and bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And that matches up with the sermon today regarding the family. Because God's Word tells us about the ways that He wants the family to grow and to develop. And the idea about little children and the concept of them I've talked about during this series of topics. And when we find 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we read about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The people who converted to the Lord are people who need to grow as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, as milk would be the part of the diet for the newborn child. And growth would be physically a part of his daily walk of life. And growing from that until the time that he would have meat to be a part of his diet. As we go to Hebrews chapter 5 and down at verse 14, 13 and 14, we read regarding that meat that is desired of those who would become teachers of God's Word. He said, "For when the time is come that you be teachers, you have need that one come and teach you again." He goes on to tell the reason for it. He says, "Because you did not have the meat of God's Word." The meat of God's Word would so prepare you to discern between good and evil. And as a result of that, you'd know the better thing to choose and the better way of life to go. When we talk about the home and family, we're talking about a growth process. We're talking about a way of life for each individual. A father and mother who love each other and care for each other. Children who love their parents and care for them. The idea of growth and development is as a newborn babe for a time. And then the meat of God's Word that we may discern what's good and evil. The idea would be that for us to be people who are helpful, instead of saying, "Let's go to church," we would say, "Let's go worship." For it's the worship that we're going to. The church are the people. The church is involved with a group of folks. The word ecclesia is used in Acts 2 and 47. God added daily to the ecclesia, the church, such as were being saved. The saved are added by the Lord to His church. It's not a human vote, not a human way of life, but it's a way of God's decision, adding us to His body. Now, as we're added to His body, what are we to be people of growth? We're to grow as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, and then become eventually teachers of God's Word, so that as we teach God's Word, we discern between good and evil. What were we doing in Bible class study this morning in our discussion times of Psalm 55, 56, and following Psalm 139? We were trying to discern good and evil. As David was discerning good and evil in his time, asking the Lord to continue to be with him and continue to bless him and help him from the enemies, to be delivered from the enemies that were around him, both in his own dwelling and in his own words, in his own walls, as well as those who were from outside. As a result, he was praising God for his great power and great ability to do that. and thank God for His presence in his life. Earlier in Psalms, in Psalm 34, and at verse 15, he had talked about that. He said, I know that the Lord is present, and He hears with His ears and sees with His eyes the righteous, and that He knows the problems and difficulties. And he had mentioned that in Psalm 17 and verse 1, how that I want to see the Lord and have the Lord's presence with our lives and enjoy the presence of the Lord. He knows what's going on. And as a result of that, we went over to Psalm 139 and discerned the fact that we cannot hide anywhere that God is not present. We cannot get away from Him at any time. Our secret thing is as open as the light of the day. Even the darkness and the light are alike unto thee, he writes there in Psalm 139. Indeed, it is the case that we want to teach our children. We want to teach our children the ways of God and the ways of worshiping God. This great and wonderful God that we call upon, that helps us as we go through life from day to day. We want to be people who do that as we do this in life. In Romans 14 at verse 6, Paul writes to the brethren there at Rome, saying to them that they are to abhor or to leave aside all ways of evil, and that they're to embrace that which is good. If we will leave aside things that are evil in our lives, there are things that we will notify to our children that are evil. It's evil for us to be people who are drunkards as we drive. It's evil for us to be people who hurt unnecessarily the lives of others by telling them falsehoods, by the mannerisms of life that we bestow upon them. It's a good thing for us to be people who uphold that which is good. What is good in a person's life? Well, in Acts chapter 10, it is said of Jesus, as Peter was there at the household of Cornelius, he was a man who went about doing good. What did Jesus do? Well, we know from our little childhood to be taught about Jesus, that he went about healing the sick. He went about restoring the sight of the blind. He went about even raising the dead. He showed the power that he had as the Son of God, as he was here upon this earth, for people to follow the way that God would have them to do as well. As a result of that, this is a way of life for us to so guide our families in, to think about the way of life for the future. And as a result, worship of God is so important to be done, and so it is that our service of God is the same. Let us be people who follow that way. Did not Jesus our Lord in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and at 13 say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify whom? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. How is it that we do good works and we don't want the glory for it? We just won't talk about ourselves. We talk about the fact that we're serving God as we do these things. It'll take us to be a serious point on our heart to really say that and really think that in ourselves. Because otherwise we'll be vain in the sense of pat on the back. And if I don't get that pat on the back, I won't come see you again. I won't do this for you again. I won't do this for you. But the idea is to be serving God. Let us so do this. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and remember that you glorified your Father who is in heaven. Because of that way of life, it's a way of the family. It's a way of the home. It's a way that does good for everybody around us in life. If we'll be people who do that way of life, we'll do a way of life that is proper and good and helpful to everybody's spirit in life. We talk about the family. We're talking about also the family of God. How does God direct His family? When the Apostle Paul addressed his thought to Timothy about the church of our Lord, he spoke in regard to the family of God. I'm writing these things to you that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. In 1 Timothy 3 at 15, hey, I'm writing these things to you that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. There's a way to behave within the family. the way to behave in the family of God as well. We want that behavior to be done within our homes and our own mannerisms of life, because we don't want there to be a battery that's gone dead because someone left it on too long and too much and without thought and spent the whole night with it being on, and in the morning time that battery is not there strong enough to start the vehicle up for us to go to work and do things like that. We want that to be understood, that this is something that you use for the time, you use for a purpose, but then you turn this off so that the battery will not be deleted of its power. A simple thing like that is important to our everyday going out and going to work and the kind of activity. It's a good thing for us to get away from the church service today and get out there and have a battery that's working so we can turn it on. The idea of it is that way. And as we do that in life from day to day with what we do as a home and family, then we come to the body of Christ, the house of God, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Sometimes we refer to this building as a house of God. Sometimes we refer to this building as just a place in which we gather to meet. Sometimes the emphasis is given by the local preacher of the place and other Bible teachers that we are the people who are the house of God. And that's the more correct way of which the Bible explains it. We're the people. We are the house. We're the family of God. We individually compose a certain member of the family of God. As a result of that, how to behave ourselves in the house of God comes down to us to evaluate how we do then. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, what did he ask us to do in 1 Corinthians 13 in regard to this matter? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about this in verse 13. What did he ask us to do? Examine yourselves as we partake of this bread and as we drink this fruit of the vine. We're to partake of it in such a way that we examine ourselves as to our relationship to this bread, to this body, and to this fruit of the vine, to this blood. As we examine ourselves that way, what do we see? Do we see someone who is away from God most every day of the week, except for this time on this Sunday morning? Do we see ourselves as the people who are honoring God's way and God's cause as we go through life from day to day? Are we people, as we've noted back there in Psalm 34 and 15, who are calling upon God as we go through our days, and we're calling upon God as we are present with Him, and that He hears our cries and He answers our cries as we go through life? If we'll teach this to our children and children's children, that this is the worship of God, that it's the service of God, and ultimately we'll teach them what it means to leave this earth in death. Death is described in the pages of the Bible in the book of James chapter 2 at verse 26. As a body being without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if it hath not works. Faith is to be obedient to God's way and God's will. But if we find ourselves in life, we find ourselves physically declining. And ultimately, the spirit that was given to us for life in the body has departed. Sadness is a part of any funeral service. Tears are shed at the death of loved ones and friends. This past week, I didn't go to the funeral service on Wednesday. I wouldn't have had time to get down there and then come back and be a part of class time here. And I was glad to be back, because as I was having a part of class time, I was necessary to be here this Wednesday night. And I appreciate that invitation and that asking to be teaching that class on Wednesday night. But I went that morning, early that morning, to sign a book of a man who was a friend, a real, true friend. I learned from him so many things. When I got back home to the house there at Kosciuszko, I would be asked by my mom, and I'd be asked by my dad later, what did you learn from your work at the newspaper office? What did you learn today? What did you see today? What did you understand today? I always had an interesting mom and dad in what I was and what I was doing. If I find that way of life, it'll be a sad thing when I don't have that question anymore. When they've departed this earthly life, when the spirit of life has left their body, and they've departed this life. Abraham back in the long ago had Sarah. Sarah he loved dearly. But when she passed away, he went to the sons of Heth, and he asked of them a burial place that I may bury my dead from out of my sight. He knew that at that point in time, that one to pass away continues to decay. The body continues to decay. It's not a pretty sight to see. It's not something that he wants to abide with a long time. Now there's embalming techniques that are used and things like that to preserve somebody's body for a time. But nevertheless, the idea in that day and time was this idea. I want to bury my dead from out of my sight. My dead, my sight. He cared enough. He cared enough. He loved her. He did not want to see her decay and desire to decay to see that as he went through in his life. When you and I face that circumstance of life, of sadness, we've got to be reminded of ourselves that spirit goes somewhere else. And when we get to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we read Solomon's words about this, when he says regarding the young person in life that we're to serve God in the days of our youth, while those evil days come not, and the years draw nigh, and you shall say in them, I have no pleasure in them. There'll come a time in your life where things will begin to decline, and the spirit will return unto God who gave it, and the body will return to the dust of the earth from whence it was made. I know we don't think of ourselves as dust today. We don't think of ourselves and our skin and everything, by which in Psalms 139 he said he covers us. He covered us with skin all over our bodies, all over our feet, all over our knees, all over our back, all over our head. Skin. But we'll see things begin to decline. And sadness will be a part of that decline. We won't have the strength to do what we used to do by ourselves. We'll call upon others to assist us and help us, and the two of them can lift a good bit of weight, a good bit of time, and do some good, even though they get much older. But there'll come a time when even that will not be our strength. We'll not be able to do that. As the spirit returns unto God who gave it, and our body returns to the dust from which it was made. When we teach our families about life and death, we're doing the full gamut of information. It's necessary. I've been with families many times in funeral services. I've been with families that have no idea. They always thought the person would live. They never once entertained the idea that they would live on their lives without this person at home, at work, bringing funds in, doing the work together, discussing things. They never dreamed that there would come that time. I've worked with other families that acquainted their children and their lives with these facts. And I've seen them and talked with them in regard to how that their family talked with them about these things, and recognized that there were changes that were going to take place,
And though the changes would take place, that does not mean that we're not in existence. My spirit goes on to be with God. My body is there, which is laid in the casket before you, placed in the ground beneath us. That's just my physical body. The real person goes on. We're eternal. Each one of us today is an eternal being. And for all my children to understand that and to be that way about life and death is to recognize something that will help them as they grow and as they live from day to day. More careful and cautious so that we'll live on and do as much good as we can. I believe that's why Paul told Timothy in regard to this matter of a little wine for thy stomach's sake in 1 Timothy 5:24. He said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmity. He wasn't telling him to become a drunkard, but he was telling him that somewhere along the way, this juice, this was going to be helpful to his body. Helpful to his stomach. Helpful to an ulcer that may be there. A problematic situation that was there. He would be able to be relieved from that if he would do this. In other words, it sums up my idea of it. Live as long as you can and do as much good as you can. Let's live as long as we can. Let's take our medicines. Let's do our exercise. Let's do our therapies so that we will be better and live as long as we can and do as much good as we can, because when that hour and day comes that our spirit goes to be with God and our physical remains goes to dust, we would have been big people who taught others how to live and how to behave and how to do in the family. What a blessing it is to have this study with you today and to have this song to be sung as we think about God is bigger than anything, as we think about how great God is. We have a way of life that can't be beat. Thank you for your study with me today. And as this song is prepared today and be sung, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation to correct something in your life, as we would be people, as he described there, about people who really know how to behave in the family, behave in the house of God, and behave beginning today with a word of prayer that you might be restored to the ways of the Lord, or a choice that you might choose to be baptized into Jesus Christ today. As you choose to do that by your faith in him, that you move on to obey him in that day. As we sing together, would you not come to him as we stand together and as we sing the song?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him
within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in his servant find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true? Each providential test. Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love will fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee.
full study of about ourselves, our coming here to earth and our being here, and our time of death, and how the family deals with each and every one of those phases of life. I hope it's been a benefit to you. Tonight we'll take a look a little bit further to family in regard to people in the family and circumstances like that, but that's not what I wanted to deal with this morning. I wanted to deal with all of life. And I trust that you're prepared for that. God bless you, everyone. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
Let's close this morning with number 419. 419. Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world all combined never can take.